We want to take some time this morning looking at quality in addiction treatment. Citing patient safety concerns, Massachusetts health officials have stopped any new admissions to one treatment center. And in spite of documents showing hundreds of complaints, they say that the treatment system overall here is strong. But the discovery of insurance scams and poor care at addiction treatment centers around the country, especially in Florida, have led to questions about how to assess treatment everywhere. Let's start with one person's story of treatment in dozens of programs. 27-year-old Casey O'Brien left Massachusetts for treatment in Florida 4 years ago. At the time, she thought she was entering a system that would help her manage her substance use and mental health issues. The reality, she says, was far different.
My experience in Florida, I ended up, you know, going from flophouse to flophouse, homeless, strung out, given all of these promises of, you know, the luxurious life of I live where you vacation. And really, like, it's seedy, it's dark, it's not something you would ever imagine when you hear the words treatment.
O'Brien spent more than 2 years in Florida at dozens of programs, most of them what she calls flop houses, but what are known as sober houses, where patients live after treatment to get back on their feet. Typically, O'Brien says, these sober houses would collude with treatment programs and drug testing labs to bill insurance as much as possible.
It's all fraud. You go to these places under the impression that there's going to be treatment, and then really you go sit in a room and your insurance gets charged hundreds of thousands of dollars.
A 24-year-old man who went to Florida for treatment and does not want to be identified tells WBUR that he was part of the fraud. He says he was paid about $500 a person to find patients with what's considered good health insurance and send them to specific programs. O'Brien says so-called patient brokering is rampant in Florida, which she blames in part by the hundreds of young people from all over the country going there for treatment, most of them covered by their parents' health insurance until age 26. O'Brien says she did not engage in fraud, but it's easy to figure out why people do.
So if someone says, hey, I can give you money, just tell your friends to come down here and get treatment here. I mean, 9 out of 10 people that are active are going to take that deal because it benefits them. They don't realize the negative impact that it's going to be having on people.
South Florida is known as one of the addiction recovery capitals of the country, with thousands of treatment centers and sober houses. Many people are attracted to promises of long-term care, such as months of counseling and sober living after rehab. Florida regulators are now taking steps to clean up the industry, and in the past 10 months, police have arrested dozens of program operators on charges related to improper treatment. Andy Amoroso, who sits on the Palm Beach County League of Cities, told NPR that patients should beware.
My message would be stop sending your children and your loved ones to South Florida because we're sending them back in body bags.
Police in Massachusetts are also concerned, especially those who help people get treatment. The Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative, or PARI, which started in Gloucester 2 years ago, says it is closely vetting the programs it uses and steering people away from Florida. John Rosenthal is co-founder of PARI.
Now that we're aware of what's going on in Florida, we are very reluctant to send anyone there unless we absolutely have a relationship with them.
In Massachusetts, addiction treatment is licensed by the State Department of Public Health. In response to the opioid epidemic, the department started tracking patient deaths at treatment facilities just this year, and it started tracking complaints against programs just 3 years ago. Department of Public Health documents obtained by WBUR show that as of last week, the state received reports of 9 deaths at treatment facilities since January. Also, in 2016, the last full reporting year, the department received 307 complaints about treatment programs, 55 of them substantiated, meaning that the provider had to take corrective action. Allison Bauer is director of the department's Bureau of Substance Addiction Services, which oversees treatment in Massachusetts. She says that number of complaints is relatively small, considering that each year more than 80,000 people are treated in programs that are overseen and in some way funded by the state.
You never want there to be a complaint. You know, we want about 1,000, But that feels like a really strong system in terms of the number of complaints that are being received.
Just last week, Bowers Bureau stopped allowing admissions at Recovery Centers of America in Danvers after two patient deaths there this year.
We can, as an interim, if we feel that there is an imminent risk of harm to either current or future clients, suspend admissions to a program while the deficiencies are being corrected.
Bauer says it's not likely that rampant treatment fraud like what's happening in Florida could happen in Massachusetts, largely, she says, because of the state's regulations and oversight. Treatment programs also can voluntarily get accredited by some national private groups, but it's estimated only about half of all programs do. Many addiction specialists say there's a broader issue in all of this, and that is that there are no standards for addiction treatment.
The problem is that what we think works is actually not what is really working. We don't know truly what is really working in treatment.
Dr. John Kelly is director of the Recovery Research Institute at Massachusetts General Hospital.
Is 35 days better than 40 days? There's no empirical basis for that.
Dr. Kelly says one national treatment accrediting group, known as the Joint Commission, is implementing new requirements that'll start in January. Those will ask accredited treatment providers to track patients' progress and provide real-time data about what's working and what's not to start developing standards of care. And that's something Kelly and others say is long overdue.
We have the stupidest treatment system in the world, basically.
Maya Salovitz is an author and journalist who writes about addiction. She says another obstacle to improving treatment is stigma.
What we really need is for parents and loved ones to get angry and stop going to the government and saying, we need more money for treatment, and start going and saying, we need this stuff investigated. We're tired of being ripped off.
So what should patients do if they're looking for addiction treatment? Dr. Kelly recommends a lot of research. And Casey O'Brien, who is now back in Norfolk, Massachusetts after her saga in Florida, says there are problems with treatment in every state, including here. She says the best way to learn about a program is to ask the people who've been there.
All I can say is continue to reach out, ask for help. Don't get an information from a party that is directly related to a treatment center. Be picky. Ask questions. Don't think anything is off limits.
O'Brien says she left Florida after her insurance ran out and she was kicked out of the program where she was living with the father of her baby. 5 months pregnant and on the streets of Florida, she returned to Massachusetts and entered treatment here. She's been drug-free ever since.